Think of the difference between the words shouldn't and don't. If we say we shouldn't do something, it suggests that we have some kind of choice. We have an option to do it or an option not to do it. But ultimately, what we are saying is that we should not do it. On the other hand, if we say that we don't do this or we don't do that, it shows that there really is no choice. The issue becomes clear and easy. Whatever that thing may be, it's just something we just don't do. To put it another way, Christians, the word shouldn't focuses on the action itself. I'm thinking about whether I should do this or whether I shouldn't do that. I'm thinking about what would be the right thing to do. I need to weigh carefully my decision and think about what I am doing. Don't, on the other hand, the word don't, focuses on me. What do I do or what do I not do? As a Christian, I do this. As a Christian, I don't do that. The decision is already made, so to speak. I don't need to think about it because then it's rooted in my very identity. It's rooted in who I am. Now, of course, we can say that Christians should or shouldn't do this. There's nothing wrong with that word at all. But we need to be able to see that what we do as a Christian flows out of who we are. Our identity, who we are, shapes our actions, and not the other way around. Because in our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul was talking about a very bad situation. Some in the congregation at Corinth were caught in a dispute, and it had become a particularly bad squabble. Over what exactly, Paul does not tell us, and wisely so. Sometimes there's things we just don't need to know. But what Paul does tell us is that it turned sour. The people who were arguing in the congregation could not resolve their differences. But instead of seeking to reconcile with one another, they chose instead to go to court. They were going to settle their dispute by a lawsuit. And what made that particularly bad was that these were pagan courts. They were choosing to have unbelievers settle a dispute between Christian brothers, rather than those Christian brothers seeking to be reconciled together and to settle the dispute themselves. They were choosing to fight before unbelievers instead of walking in peace in Jesus Christ. This was not good, Paul says. Because on the one hand, by acting this way, how were they different from anyone else? How could people say, looking from the outside, that they were acting like Christians when in reality they were just the same as unbelievers? When Christians defraud one another, when they wrong one another, when they cheat one another, or when they sue one another, how are they any different from the world? And why should I be a Christian when being a Christian is no different from being a non-Christian? Did Christ settle his disputes by suing in court? Did Christ refuse to seek reconciliation? Did Christ defraud his neighbors and cheat his brothers? Of course not. Why then should those who are in Christ do any of these things? This is not who we are. As Paul goes on to say in our reading, starting in verse 9, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Now let's make sure that we don't misunderstand what Paul means when he says this. He does not mean that only perfect people get into heaven, as if we have to pass some kind of entrance exam, as if we're going to go up to heaven only to be asked, "Have you ever committed sexual sins? Yes? Well, out you go." Jesus forgiving the woman caught in adultery in the Gospel of John shows that that's not what Paul means. Rather, what he means here, Christians, is that such things have no place in the kingdom of God. These things will not exist in eternity. And if they won't exist in eternity, why should they have any place among us now? If there's no squabbling in heaven, why should we squabble now? If there's no defrauding in heaven, why should we defraud now? To persist in these things, to keep on doing them, puts us into conflict with ourselves. Because this is not who I am. This is not who I will be, so why should I keep on doing it? And the longer I keep on doing it, the harder it will be to turn away. Until the point when we finally turn away from God entirely and fall into judgment. This is not who we are, Christians. Such things have no place in the kingdom of God. Let us not be deceived. And Paul goes on to explain what he means when he says in the next verse, "And such were some of you." Pay attention to that word "were." "Such were some of you." It's in the past tense. It's true that the Corinthians had been some of these things. Some of them had been sexually immoral. Some of them had been idolaters. Some of them had been adulterers and so forth. Just like any church, Corinth was not made up of perfect people, people who had never sinned. Some of them had checkered pasts, and some of them were especially dark. But remember what he says. "Such were some of you." You were these things, but you are them no longer. You have been changed, transformed, made into something new, so that even if you once did these things, you are no longer bound to them. You are dead to the sins you once committed. They have been left behind in the past forever. Why? Well, finish the verse, verse 11. "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Notice those three words: washed, sanctified, justified. You were washed in the name of Jesus by the Spirit. The Spirit has made you clean because the Spirit has washed away your sins in baptism. He has washed them away by giving you faith, so that not only have your sins been drowned forever in the depths of the sea, but you have also been made a new creation by His almighty power. You were given a new identity in baptism, meaning that you now belong to God and you are no longer stained by your sins. God has made you to be something different than you were before. And you were sanctified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit. The Spirit has made you holy. He has set you apart from the world, making you different from all those around you who still walk in darkness. And He has made you to be holy just like God, who is holy. Holy in your thoughts, holy in your words, holy in your actions. It is a holiness which grows in this life, and a holiness which will be perfected in the life to come. You have a new identity as a holy son of God. God has made you to be different than what you were before. And you were justified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit. The Spirit has made you righteous. The Spirit has made you able to stand before God. The Spirit has made you a part of His kingdom. Not because of you. Nobody can qualify to be a Christian. But because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, your old sinful identity was taken away, and a new one has been put in its place. You have been given Christ's righteousness, so that Jesus is now your identity. God has made you different from what you were before. For this reason, Paul says, since you have been made something new, since your identity comes from God, for this reason, turn away from those things which have no place in the kingdom. That is not who you are. Better to suffer wrong if it means gaining a brother. Better to suffer loss if it means being reconciled. Better to let all things go for the sake of my brother in Christ and to give up all things for him. Because Jesus gave up all things for me. And Jesus now lives within me. What we were, Christians, is gone. And what we are now and what we will be comes from God. Let us therefore walk in His ways as the Christians we have been called to be, to the glory of His holy name. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has made us to be like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, lead us to walk in your ways now, because we will be perfectly like you in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.